There's no prizes tonight, and I'm sorry. I didn't make it to Home Depot and get any. How many still have their garden stakes? Are using them? The LS boys ended up probably making a tree fort with them, or swords or something. We are actually doing a series where, in the end, we're designing our own forts. And part of it is God has a design and plan for your life. And so we're designing some things. So they probably took those. I'm going to share some things tonight with you that it's nothing new. I can't even begin to think that I can maybe share anything new. But maybe I can give a new light, a new perspective. How many here have ever had the dreaded dentist chair experience? If anybody can relate to me, I cannot stand going to the dentist. Can we preach? I guess I hit something. I think all the dentists in the world. No, I'm just teasing. I had one negative experience as a young child in a dentist chair. And from then on out, I have had a proclivity or a tendency to avoid the dentist at all costs, even at the peril of my own teeth. I've went for years without getting my teeth cleaned. I'll brush. I got an electric toothbrush. We all know about that. Until a few weeks ago, I had not been to the dentist. Probably it was going on. I asked my wife how long it had been. She thought it was about 5 years. And that's 5 years too long, especially when you're 41 years old. And if you want to keep your teeth until you're 80, unless you want dentures. So I was beginning to have some discomfort, and we had gotten a new dentist, and I didn't like the old dentist. The old dentist was a little grumpy. He actually yelled at me once the last time I was there, because I was having a procedure done. It was just a filling, but when you take cold medicine, the pain medicine, the Novocaine that they give you, they can't give you Novocaine because of the cold medicine. I took some Dayquil, and the chemicals in that doesn't react well. And the long story short is they had to give me something that was less effective. I squealed once because I was in pain, and he kind of snapped at me. A few years later, he sold his practice and retired. So let's press forward here. I have had four teeth that need work. I had two cavities, one that probably needed a root canal, and another one that might have gotten saved, might need to get pulled. So I figured I was in the chair. He was nice. Everyone was smiling, and I was probably because I was making a boat payment for somebody. And I got through the first procedure that they said we're going to take a bite size, just a little bit at a time, one bite at a time. Little dentist humor there. You get it? No. And so they cut part of the tooth out, my upper molar here, and they put a, it wasn't a prosthetic, but they put some sort of compound in there, and it looks like I have a full tooth. But a new crown on there, and it might need a root canal later on, but so far so good. Now I have tooth, and I now know it affectionately as number 33. Was cracked. My 33 was cracked. I know the dentist lingo. And so a few weeks ago, it started bothering me. Have you ever had dental pain? You know what that's like. As a man, this is a man thing. I decided I had 2 weeks before my appointment. I was just going to wait. And because I could take ibuprofen, and the ibuprofen kind of took the edge off. About a week went by, and I'm at work, and ibuprofen wasn't really doing anything for me, and I suffered, and it began to interrupt my sleep. Has anyone had tooth pain interrupt your sleep before? Now, at that point, I should have went to the dentist. I should have called and said, please get me in. But my wife had some medicine, some pain meds that helped me out, got me to sleep. And so I continued to suffer. I woke up in pain, but I was able to sleep. I was able to function. And I was taking ibuprofen about three every four hours, just to try to get the edge off, And then I would experience times where the pain would just completely disappear. And I figured, oh, this is manageable. My appointment's on Tuesday. Life is good. And then I would wake up and feel like somebody had punched me in the jaw. So I get in the chair on Tuesday, and they start their medieval practices on my mouth, and I'm completely numb. And he says, well, John, I'm not going to lie, we can't save it. So he put some temporary compound in my mouth, and he had me go over to another specialist where they ripped number 33 out of my mouth. And at least now I'm pain-free. And there's a hole there, and number 33, it was in the back of my last molar, molar number 4, I think, or molar number 3. And so I'm kind of playing with that little area. You know how you do with your tongue, you know, when you get a feeling or something. And for the last week, or actually it's not been a week now, I've been able to sleep through the night without any pain. I've not been on any ibuprofen or any other medicines. I've been pain-free. And if you ask my wife, I've probably been a little bit easier to live with. And if you see my yard, and if you can see my home, things are clean, things are picked up, the yard looks really nice. I'm a happy camper. But the dentist said something that was very, it kind of sparked the my thought tonight was that the decay of the tooth is too deep. It's hit the root, and we've got to pull it. There's no life left in the tooth. And he explained to me that because of that decay, and the pain I was actually feeling was the tooth actually dying. And so I just was thinking, isn't that interesting? Is there a life lesson? What can I learn from this? Decay of life. The word decay, can we all think of what the word decay might mean? Anybody? What was that? Deterioration? Anyone else? Rotting? I'm looking for my note. I have a note on that, but I guess we're going to go ahead and skip that. Have you ever had a lawn and have you ever had a compost pile and things decay, a compost pile? What this week I've also in my study, because I have been interested in why my tooth did what it did, I found out that the teeth is the only part of the body that doesn't regenerate itself, doesn't heal itself. Your teeth can't heal themselves. So when they die, they die. They're gone forever. Your fingernails grow. And I've got a statistic here. If my iPad would just... Your body is made up of... Can anyone guess how many cells your body is made up of? 37 trillion. Let me help you out there. In the last minute, 96 million cells have died in your body alone. Fortunately, 96 million cells have been born or have regenerated themselves, and so we can all sit here. And it's interesting that I was beginning to pray about tonight's message, and I was beginning to ask God about my experience and how this might relate. And I'm thinking, Lord, so many folks that I try to reach, even myself, you try to reach me, I'm in a state of decay. You ever feel like you've just like, meh? You ever feel like you're just in a state of decay? We all can identify with pain. Have you ever seen someone go through pain and suffering? It's not fun, is it? It's not fun for anybody. And I would like to, at this point, there's a crossroad in our message, because I'm going to talk about pain tonight. I'm going to talk about suffering, and we could go one way and talk about the suffering that Christ went through for us on the cross. And we can talk about suffering, long suffering, and there's so many different directions that we can go tonight. But I felt that I wanted to go this way tonight, is that the story of Lazarus. Story of Lazarus in John 11. Let me read this out of the New Living Translation. We'll start at verse number 20. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house, and Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you only knew, or if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at that last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come to save the world. I'm sorry, I lost my place here. Save the world, who has come into the world from God. And let's skip down to John 11, 43. And this is the point, or this is the part of the story, after Jesus made his journey, and now he's in front of the tomb, and Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, and his hands and feet bound in his grave clothes, his feet wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. And many of the people who were there with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. I thought it was interesting, if you study Jewish custom, there is a process of grieving that the Jews have after burial. It's called sitting Shiva. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. And what that is a seven-day time frame after the burial of a Jew. They've already had the ceremony. Everything's been done. The body now has been buried or put in the grave. And now there is a seven days of mourning. Does anyone know about mourning? Does anyone know about grief? I'm going somewhere tonight. I'm kind of laying this foundation. My pastor's kind of taught me how to lay a foundation. And it was this point where everything in the atmosphere seemed completely hopeless. Completely, Lazarus was dead. Let's tie this in something that we might be more familiar about. Have you ever had a situation or a prayer request go unanswered, or a situation just not work out, and you've just washed your hands of it, and you're like, it is what it is. It's not going to change. I lost the job. It's not going to change. I broke her heart. She's never going to take me back. It's not going to change. That family member is never going to change. It just is what it is. We've all had kind of thoughts we can relate to. See, here in Jewish society, it was a custom that when someone passed away, there was a great time of mourning. And it was a community thing. And even they went through all these rituals together, because the person who was part of the community now was gone, and there was actually a ripping of clothing and part of the ceremony. And in modern times, that they will wear a ripped piece of black cloth, maybe on their arm or on their shirt, and to represent that time of mourning. And here, this community had what was accepting of the fact that Lazarus was dead. They were accepting of the fact that Mary, Martha, and their family were going through this tough time, and they went through it, and they buried Lazarus. They put him in the tomb. They put a stone on, and they were in day number four of this mourning process, and they had a couple more days to go, and that's when Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up at. Not only was hope gone, there was almost a separation of Lazarus. Kind of, Lazarus is gone. We're not going to talk about it anymore. It's dead. He's dead. He's gone. And Jesus showed up on the scene, and he was talking, and he was saying, "I am the resurrection and the life." Basically saying, if I want Lazarus to live, I'm going to have him live. If I want to speak life into a situation, I'm going to speak life into a situation. If I want to speak life into your request, in your situation, I'm going to speak life into it, even though everything seems lost. The family had accepted Lazarus' death. The community was going through the customary mourning ritual of 7 days. It was accepted this guy was gone until Jesus walked in. Until Jesus walked in the doors and said, "Wait a minute, let me show you something." It was in that moment where Lazarus was his body was decaying. 4 days. Body had been in a place of decay. I don't know if you've ever been somewhere where something's been rotting for a long time. Doesn't smell too good. Now, after 4 days in a tomb, I know there's probably there was some spices and things, but it was kind of an odoriferous situation. I imagine. Imagine some things were going on there. And so often, this is the point of the story that we like to focus in on, because Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he comes forth, and he orders the grave clothes to be taken off, and he orders everything, him to be unbound, and Lazarus has risen, and everyone's happy. And now there's a celebration, and probably for the first time ever, at least in that community, the Shiva is turned into a celebration. But how often in our situation, take it from the point of Lazarus. Lazarus is dead. And I'm trying to lay a foundation for someone here tonight that the Lord understands and is not afraid of death. And is not afraid of decay. And is not afraid of your hopelessness. He doesn't shy away because you've given up. And this is kind of the direction I want to go tonight, because so often, as in my cute little experience I had with tooth number 33, and believe me, 12's on the way too. 12's got the eviction notice too. But it's not hurting me at all, so. We'll deal with that in a month. I start talking to folks, and it's beyond this holding out hope for somebody. I don't know if we've ever, maybe none of you have ever experienced the washing of the hands of that brother or that sister or that family member, or the washing of the hands that God will never change this in me. And that's it's because of that decay and that deterioration, and it's causing this pain, and it's causing this excruciating, life-numbing, mind-numbing pain, because something that you've believed in for so long, something that you wished for so long, is dying. You've always wanted to have a ministry. You've always wanted to see people filled with the Holy Spirit. You always wanted to have friends from where you work come to church with you. You've always wanted these things to happen. You've prayed for years and sometimes decades for this aspect of your life that God, you felt God promise you, and you're feeling this pain. Maybe you've been wronged maybe there's a situation that's so dark and you've kind of kept it buried, and underneath it all it's nothing but decay and pain. And anytime someone gets close to that pain, you snap at them. You start swinging. You start acting weird. Maybe you don't even know it until it subsides, or you numb it with something. You numb it with busyness. You numb it with whatever you might feel that gets you that escape. But Jesus ignored the mood of the family. Jesus ignored the mourning community, the condition of the four-day dead body. Lazarus' decay didn't hinder the miracle of God. The circumstances that Jesus found himself in didn't defeat the deliverer of speaking life to something that was dead. I want to challenge someone's thinking tonight. I want to challenge us as a church tonight that let's not let go of hope until Jesus stepped in. I want Jesus to step in and breathe some life into some families, into some situations, into some sicknesses. Because though Lazarus was dead, it was when Jesus walked on the scene, he was able to speak life. I'm not here to trumpet that there isn't consequences to sin, but I am here to say that there's hope in Jesus. And I'm telling somebody tonight that even though you've neglected your spiritual life, even though you might have neglected the promises and things that were entrusted to you and you just messed it up, I'm here to speak hope to you tonight. I'm here to give you perspective to that, maybe you've been praying for somebody. And you're about to just give up. I hear prayer requests around this church all the time. Pray for this person. Pray for that person. Pray for this person. Pray for that person. Pray for this person. Pray for that person. Pray for this situation. Pray for that situation. And it would be so easy just to give up praying. It would be so easy just to say, you know what? It's not working. I'm just going to just throw them to the wolves. Lord, you just get them. But I can tell you tonight, the Lord wants to speak. I want to speak some. The Lord wants to give you some hope tonight. When we deal with pain or people who are going through suffering, what can they only focus on? Well, when dear old John and number 33 were dancing at 3:00 in the morning, what was I thinking about? Number 33, right? When people are going through pain, all they can think about is their pain. All they can think about is their suffering. And when I was in so much pain, what didn't I do? I didn't sleep much. I didn't care about what other people thought. And I didn't respond well to normal stress. Well, what would you expect other folks to respond? I like what Paul wrote in the book of Romans. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Well, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten when we were joined with Christ in baptism? We joined him in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by his glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives since we have been united to him in his death. We were also raised to life as he was. Tonight, I want to tell someone that you might have let some things go, but Jesus is standing here saying, I'm here to breathe life. I'm here to give life. I need life. I need life. We all need life. I need hope in ministry. You need hope in ministry. I go through too much to go through a day without hearing from God. We go through too much to try to make it on our own, because we're gonna be involved in painful situations. We're gonna be involved in things that it's like, Lord, how do I deal with this? And so tonight, it's a very simple message. Very, very simple. And I hope I'm speaking to someone's heart tonight, because God wants us to reach our community. God wants us to reach the state. He wants us to influence this world. But I think tonight, I felt in my spirit that the Lord wants us to grapple with that person that we look at every morning. With us. Because I wasn't going to be very effective until number 33 got out of my jaw. And if I've got some issues, and if I've got some pains, or some things I'm suffering with, I need healing. And maybe you need a dentist to pull a tooth out. Maybe God needs to pull some things out of you. Maybe God needs to place some things into us. But we are entering into a season that we're going to be seeing a lot of new faces in this church. We're entering into the next 7 weeks. We're going to have our vacation Bible school. And it's one of the most fun things that the church does, but it's also one of the most taxing things that the church can do. And if you are not in a position of strength in the next 7 weeks, you're going to get burned out. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to wonder, why didn't this happen? How come this is going on this way? In the next few, the second Saturday in October, we're having our fall festival. We're going to be dealing with more people. And hopefully there's going to be other things that this church does. But before I can participate fully in any of that, I've got to make sure I got a quadruple check that I've not hidden anything, any pains, any hurts that could take away from my ability to serve. And so tonight, I want us to pray on two fronts. And maybe you just want to stay on the first part. But I want everyone tonight to begin. Don't start and end the process in just one little altar service that we're going to have here in a few moments. But begin to ask God to shine a light into your heart. And if there is anything there that needs worked on, that needs fixed, that needs, I'm asking you, I'm begging you to ask the Lord to help you with that. Because if you're ever going to take the next step in your ministries, if you're ever going to take the next step and growing where God wants you to be, that has to get right. I have to make sure that I get things right. I'm not talking about being perfect, but there are some things that I know I've got some hurts in my heart, and I continually have to ask God, Lord, whatever I have to do, shine that light. Oh, I didn't realize I still was harboring bitterness over that situation. Lord, forgive me. Lord, maybe there's someone you have to forgive. Maybe there's someone I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what that might be. But I felt tonight that if we're going to grow, if we're going to grow as individuals, if we're going to grow as a church, that we might as well get the foundation right the first time. And if there's something that anyone might have that hurt, a pain, we need to bring it to the Lord. And I'm not saying the pain's going to instantly go away, but you would be just amazed about that one simple confession, Lord, help me, what that will do to you. What that would do to your spirit. Secondly, I want to pray about our responses to the hurting. It's how we respond to others who I know who are in pain. I have a quick wit, and I am able to dodge and weave, and I have a vocabulary, but if someone comes at me who I think is after me, I don't respond well at times. Just ask my wife. It's our response to those who are in pain. I know when I saw my little Sophia for the very first time, I knew instantly that there was something wrong. Her breathing, she was wheezing when she was born. I didn't go up to her and say, quit breathing like that. You're not supposed to breathe like that. I held her. I rocked her. I prayed for her. I gave her to the people that needed to work on her. It was scary, but I did what I could do. But I've got to pray about my response to others. Because that's how I build relationship. That's how you build relationship, is my response to you. If James comes in here, or I see James outside of church and he says something that I take the wrong way, and he's being mean and mean-spirited, how am I going to respond to that? Am I going to choose to build a wall? Am I choose to be offended? Am I going to choose to all this and all? No, I am going to choose. I'm going to pray for my brother. I'm going to make sure our relationship is right. You see where we're going with this? Because it's about building relationships with one another. But before we even do that, we've got to make sure this is right. And it's a simple message tonight. And forgive me if you think it's just oversimplistic. But we've got plenty of time. We're going to take some time and we're going to pray. You want to? How? If this hits you anyway, maybe there's someone a situation that you need to let go of. Whatever it might be, ask God to shine that light onto you. I'm going to ask God to help me. Maybe you just need to pray for me that I can get those things right. Because God has you have a destiny in God's kingdom. Every single person sitting in this room, you have a destiny. God has a plan for your life. And I just want to help us. I want to encourage us to get pointed northward, as Pastor would say. Because in the end, it's all about Him. Amen. Let's stand. As we begin to pray, if you want to pray at your seat, if you want to pray at the altar, if you want Pastor to pray for you, whatever it might be tonight, it's the hour is early. But maybe the Lord was bringing things to your mind right now that you need to get to your prayer closet. Lord Jesus, I pray tonight's message, God, affects someone else as it's affected me. Lord God, I know that there are things that in my heart, God, that I continually have to wrestle with. God, and I don't want to struggle, but I do. I don't want to react the wrong way, Lord, but at times I do. I don't want to say the wrong things, Lord, but at times I do. God, help me. Help me, Lord Jesus, as we find a place to pray. God, tonight may you begin the healing process. Hallelujah, Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen.